It's your parsha and my son's parsha.
Right, right. I had two bar mitzvahs. One was chukas. That was the real bar mitzvah. Okay, Rabosai. So about the paraduma, we have two kedushos. One is called kedushas mizbeach, otherwise known as kedushas aguf. And we have another kedusha which is called kedushas damin, which is otherwise known as kedushas bedek habayis. Okay, thank you so much, Sean. If you could just don't give me anything.
Except,
oh, this is the originals.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take the originals just in case. Okay, you have three copies.
I made five copies.
Wow. Okay.
You're forcing me to take one, so
let's look at the Rambam and see what he says about Paraduma. Okay, now Paraduma has what's called Shechita, and then some of the Dam we do Hazan, and then we have Sreifa Sapar, right? And from the Sreifa Sapar, we're going to make a we're going to make mechatos for Taras HaTomei Mes. So, for example, Zos Lukas HaTorah Shatziv Hashem Leimor Daber Bnei Yisrael Vikhu Elecha Paraduma Tmima, etc., etc. When it's Satem Osol Lazar HaKohen Lotzi Osol Michutz HaMachne V'Shachat Osol Lefanov. And then v'lakach lazar kohen midama v'etzbo v'hizal nochach pnei moed midama sheva pa'amim, and then v'saraf v'sapara, etc., etc. So we have shechita with hazah, and then we have sreifa sapar.
I have a question about hazah. Where is he doing the hazah?
So at this point we're assuming he does the hazah on the heichal. Okay, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but let's not get derailed because our time is so limited. So let's see what the Rambam says about the Paraduma. This is the Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchas Me'ilah Halacha He. The Rambam says V'chein Paraduma Mo'alin Ba. In other words, it's subject to Me'ilah Mishahukdesha, from the moment it was sanctified as a Paraduma Ad sheteyasa efer, until it's burnt. So during that entire period from the hakdash until it became efer, it's subject to me'ilah. Afal pi shehi kikodshe bedek habayis. So the Rambam, so to speak, asks a kash on himself. You might say, wait a minute, the kedusha of Paraduma, the Gemara says in many places, is equal to that of Bedek HaBayis. It's got a Kedushas Domim, it's not a Kedushas Haguf. So why is it subject to Me'ilah? And the Rambam adds the following equation. Shari Nemar Bo Chatosi. If you look in the parasha, the parasha says it's a Chatos. Ad Kan Lashono. So let's go back to the Rambam's Kasha. Afal Pi, says the Rambam, Shehi Kodshe Bedek HaBayis, nevertheless it has Me'ilah. Rabosai, if you only had those words in the Rambam, what conclusion would you come to? Which is absolutely incorrect. It undermines everything we know about Me'ilah.
There's
no Me'ilah by Kodshe Bedek HaBayis. That's not true. In fact, the paradigm of Me'ilah is Kodshe Bedek HaBayis. Divrei HaRambam Tmuim Me'od. B'meshe Kosev Afal Pishi Kodshe Bedek HaBayis. Hare gam kodshei bedek habayis molim. V'im keim lama kosev doha de molim urak midin chatas kori le'rachmona. The Rambam says that the Torah went out of its way to call paraduma chatas in order to establish the din of me'ilah, but that's not true. Even in the absence of chatas, paraduma would be a paradigmic place of me'ilah because it's got kedushas bedek habayis. So what's this kechatos kari rachmanu? That the Torah called it a chatos. Forget about calling it a chatos, which sounds like kedusha saguf. Kedusha bedek habayis is subject to me'ilah. So what's made the Rambam? What's the Rambam say? He says afal pishi kekodshe bedek habayis. Ukvar hikshe zol sakesef mishnah. And the Kesef Mishnah doesn't offer any answer to this question. So at this point, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik takes a step back because he says, look, you know, we really shouldn't be attacking the Rambam because the Gemara itself says it this way. He Gemara Mefureshes B'Menachas Daf Nun Aleph Chatasi, says the Gemara, the Torah went out of its way to classify, to describe Paradu as Chatas Melami Shemolimba, to teach us that there is Me'ilah. So let's ask Akash on the Gemara. What do you mean, if it hadn't called or classified Paradum as Chatos, there would be no Me'ilah? Why not? Call it Berek HaBayis. Berek HaBayis is subject to Me'ilah. Now Tosfos asks this question, which the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam, but he asks it on the Gemara itself and offers an answer. And this you'll see on the top of the next page, which should start which in the top left should say Kuf Chaf Aleph. He says, Tema, this is the Lashon of Tosfos Menachos, on Daf Nun Aleph, Tepukle the Kodshei Berek HaBayisi. If you want to know why there's Me'ilah, it's because it's Kodshei Berek HaBayis. The Tosfos answers, V'yesh Lomar, De Itztrich LeMoel Achar Moel. Wow, fascinating. Tosfos says the following. That normally, once there's Me'ilah, then it's Mafkia, the Kedusha, means it goes out L'chulim. So let's say, for example, you have an object that was consecrated for Berek HaBayis, you went ahead and you used it for your own purpose. Now, there's no second Me'ilah because it's Yotze L'chulim. But the Torah says that Paraduma, not only is it Kedushas Berek HaBayis, which would mean Ein Mo'al Achar Mo'al, you can't have a second meal after the first, but as a Kedushas Karbon, so to speak, as a Chatos, Kedushas Aguf, and therefore Yesh Mo'al Achar Mo'al. Now the only case that we know of Mo'al Achar Mo'al is either, number one, in the case of Behemas Kodshim, which has Kedushas Aguf, or Kli Sharis, which also has Kedushas Aguf. But we never knew that there's anything else that really is Kedushas Damim, and yet the Torah is going to superimpose upon it a possibility of Me'ilah HaMila. That's why the Torah had to add Chatas. Vabirhu, you know, let's, so to speak, embellish or interpret this Tosfos in greater depth. Derei Kodshei Berek HaBayis Yotzim L'chulin Ayidei Me'ilah. When you have Kedushas Berek HaBayis after Me'ilah, it's Yotze L'chulin. Kedushas Aguf Shel Mizbeach, Eda Yotzeis L'chulin. So if you have a Behemoth Kodshim, and you use it, you ride it, like as if it was a horse, you ride it. Again, we're not talking about a horse, but if you could ride a cow, you know, so you ride it, and it's already a violation of Me'ilah. No, if you ride it again and again and again, every time you ride it, you chayev Mishum Me'ilah. Because that's Kedush Saguf. Kedush Saguf is not Paka, cannot be removed by Me'ilah, by using it for your own purposes. In the case of Paraduma, what we have here is two levels, two layers, so to speak. The basic layer, the fundamental Kedush of Paraduma is what? Is Berek HaBayis. But now the Torah has Xeris HaKosuv Chatosi, that even though Paraduma has fundamentally a Kedushas Berek HaBayis, and therefore Ein Me'ilah HaMila Tzotzi L'chulin. No! The Torah says we're going to superimpose another level of Kedusha onto Paraduma, V'ein Yotzis L'chulin Ayidei Me'ilah, and it becomes like a Kedushas HaGuf of Behema, because the Torah calls it Chatos. Says Rav Moshe, V'divrei HaTosis T'mu Mi'od, the din yitzia lechulin al yedei me'ilah toli rak b'kedushas aguf. In other words, the Torah could call it chatos, but that doesn't mean it has kedushas aguf. The possibility of saying that just one second, the din yitzia lechulin al yedei me'ilah. Oh, okay. I think what he means is the following: toli rak b'kedushas aguf, meaning it depends upon whether it's Kedushas Berek HaBayis or Kedushas Aguf. In the case of Paraduma, we've classified the Kedushas as Kedushas Berek HaBayis. It doesn't have Kedushas Aguf. And therefore, the halacha should be that it's Yotze L'chulin. Paraduma, afal gav techatos kor yirachmona, afal mikomakom, kevet the etzem Kedushas Berek HaBayis, Im kein bevada yotzis l'chulin ayidei me'ilo.
What do you find as klish bedek habayis? What's the fundamental?
Right, because there's no akrom al gabim mizbeach in the case of parat.
So does that make mas hasheni? Is that kedushin? What kedushin does that have? That's going mizbeach.
Right, wait. The Maisa Sheni is a machlokus, whether it goes on the, you know, everyone says it has the din of Hanoch al Gabi Mizbeach. Well, no. That's Guf Machlokus Rabbi Yudin Chachamim, whether you require Hanoch al Gabi Mizbeach in Maisa Sheni. Well, that's how I think we pass in like the Chachamim, that you require Hanoch al Gabi Mizbeach. So then, okay. Maisa Sheni might have a Kedusha Guf. I don't know. I think it's going to come up, but I don't know. So again, just to reiterate his problem, Rav Moshe, he says, how can you tell me that if you are moel in a paraduma which has kedushas berek habayis, then it's not yotzei selchulin? And the me'il itself in kedushas berek habayis, by definition, removes the kedushas berek habayis. That's called yotzei selchulin. So comes over the Tosis and says, no, the Torah called it Chatos, and therefore, Yesh Me'ilach or Me'ilah, and it's not Yotzis L'chulin. How's that possible? How can you say about Kedush Saguf that after Me'ilah, it's not Yotzis L'chulin?
Is Kedush better by the Raisa concept?
Sure, absolutely. Vare Parah Duma Yesh Lo Pidjon. Now, wait a second, what does Pidjon mean? That you remove the Kedusha. So you can be Makdish a Paraduma, and then you can do Pidjon. So what are you going to tell me? That through Me'ilah it's not Yotzis L'chulin, the din of Me'ilah is the same as the din of Pidjon. Ha'itochin di'yil a Pidjon v'lote Yotzis L'chulin ha'idei Me'ilah. You can't separate between those two concepts because they're identical. So again, let's just go over a Moshe's problem over here. How can you say that there is Pidjon on a Paraduma, which means that Paraduma is Yotzei Slechulin, which by definition means that it's got Kedushas Berek HaBayis. You can't be Po the Kedushas Aguf. And at the same time tell me that through Me'ilah it's not Yotzei Slechulin. The reason why it's not Yotzei Slechulin in Me'ilah is because it's Kedushas Aguf. But a Kedushas Berek HaBayis, by definition, you used it, and that's Motziit Lechulin. So Amy Lachar Mil, and Tosa says no. The Torah called it Chatos. Yeah, the Torah could call it Chatos, a hidden hair, but it still doesn't have Kedushas Aguf. So Rav Moshe just wants to point out that there's one element here in Tosa that we're missing. And then he's going to compare it to the Rambam. Here I would press the return button. Vasher Nire, the Divrei HaTosfos, Koi, Li Achar Shenishchita. In other words, he's saying like this, Yesh Lachkar. When we say that the Torah calls paraduma chatos, and Tosfos interprets that to mean that yesh me'ilach hamila, yesh lachar, what are we talking about? We're talking about after akdasha before shchita, or after akdasha plus shchita. You remember that there are two fundamental, well, let's call them three fundamental processes, if there's such a word, in paraduma. Number one, you need akdasha. Number two, you need shchita, which culminates with Hazor, and then you have Sreifas HaPara. So at what point in time do we say that he's Chayef for Me'ilah, but he's going to be Chayef for Me'ilah a second time around, because Yesh Me'ilah, Yesh Malach HaMoel. So Rav Moshe says that's only after Shechita. In other words, the Shechita changes something very fundamental in terms of the status of Paraduma, and for this we have to study a sugya in Shmuas Daf Yud Aleph. The story of Kodshim goes way beyond Seder Kodshim. There are major sugyas in Masechta Shavuos that are Kodshim. A lot of the yeshivas, when they get to those sugyas, they skip them. And one of the sugyas is Me'ilah a second time around in... Well, actually, I shouldn't... That's not explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara is addressing the question of Pidjon regarding a Paraduma. Now we know that a paraduma is subject to pidjon, but the Gemara in Shavuos establishes a very important restriction or limitation. When is there pidjon in paraduma? That's only between Hakadosh and what? And Shechita. But after Shechita, there's no pidjon in paraduma. Asher nira de divrei atosus koi We achar shenishkato. When Tosa says yesh moel achar moel in Torah Duma, he's talking dafka after shkita. Demavuar b'shvuah. Again, this all takes place on the mizbeach because when you need the hazor. And mavuar b'shvuah staf yud aleph the ain lot pigeon. That once the shkita takes place, there's no possibility of pigeon. Ein b'rashi shom ain lot pidio lomis. And Rashi says there's never going to be pidyon on Parah Adumah after Shechita. He says, Me'achar shenaseis behechsher gnaihu lohotzia lechulin. So Daniel, what does that sound like? A Doraisa or a Drabana?
Sounds more like a
Drabana. A Drabana. Whenever you see the word gnai, you know that you're dealing with a Drabana. Achein, Tosvis there in Masech Teshuvos argues with Rashi. And he says, Dohada ain pidyon, which means that from the moment of Shkita's Parah Adumah on, there's never going to be pidyon. Havi din doraisa. So what happens here at the moment of Shkita?
What's Shkita do?
Oh, yesod adinu, this is Ramosha's Kiddush, the oz, meaning from the moment of Shkita on, kidosha hi b'kidusha saguf. Notice now it's already on the Mizbeach. Now again, it's not going to be Akrav on the Mizbeach because Chas V'Shalom, we're not going to be Zorik the Dam, and we're not going to do Akhtar Seymurim and whatever you do in a Zevach, because the basic Avodah and the ultimate goal of Paradum is Sreifa. But nevertheless, we do have a partial Hakrava. We start with Shkita and then it ends up with what? With Hazah. And he says that at this point, why does Gemara establish an Ein Lo Pidyon? We know that Kedushas Damim, or otherwise known as Berek Habayis, is always subject by definition to Pidyon. So why is there no Pidyon in the case of Paradum Aliyach HaShkita? He says that's where Chatos Kari Rachmana comes in. The Torah says that from the moment of Shkita, this Paradum is endowed with an upgraded Kedusha. It started with a low-graded Kedusha, namely what? Berek Habayis, and now we upgrade it to the level of the highest level of Kedusha, which is called Kedusha Saguf. Is Memela, what changes now as a result of Shechita? Eina Yotzeis Lechulin. Why? Because if it's not subject to Pidyon, then it's not subject to Yitzia Lechulin Ayidei Me'ila. So we have two concepts that are absolutely interdependent. One is called Pidya, and the other is called Yotzeis Lechulin Al Yidei Me'ila. If there is Pidya, then it's Yotzeis Lechulin Al Yidei Me'ila. If there's no Pidya, that means it has Kedusha Saguf, and that's why it's not subject to Pidya. And therefore, Kedusha Saguf is not Yotzeis Lechulin Al Yidei Me'ila. When Tosa says that Yesh Mo'al Achar Mo'al B'Paraduma, how could that be? After all, Paraduma is Kedusha Asperek Abayis, it's subject to Pidya, and therefore Me'ila is Motzi Midei Chulin. Motzi Midei Chulin. So how can Tosa say the Yesh Milach HaMe'ila? The answer is we're talking after Shechita. And after Shechita, the Gemara says in Shavuos, is no longer subject to what? To Pidyon or Lamis. There can never be Pidyon. And why is it? Because Chatas Kari Rachman. Which means that the Torah now slaps on, if I could use that word, or adds on to the basic Kedusha of Paraduma, of Kedushas, Berek Habayis, another level, a much higher level, an intense level of Kedusha called Kedusha Saguf. Now it's like already on the Mizbeach, as if it were a Zevach, and therefore there's no Pidyon. Ah, if there's no Pidyon, then Me'il is not Motzi Midei Chulin. That's what Tosus means, Yesh Mo'al Achar Mo'al. V'atosus Savri, the Chol Adin, the Chatos Kari Rachmona. What does the Gemara mean when it says Chatos Rachmona Kariye? Chalolei Mishas Shechita V'yelech U'bikodem HaVikdushas Berek Habayis U'din Me'ilosa Mechaim U'bidin Berek Habayis. So let's say you ride the Paraduma, and if it's got flappy ears, you hold on to its ears. I'm just kidding. Right? They now have a picture of a Paraduma they found in New Jersey, I think. I don't know. Whatever happened to that Paraduma? Did they do anything with it?
It gave birth to another fire.
No, the cow?
Yeah, there was
now they found another one in North Carolina.
No, there was a guy who was breeding them.
Breeding them?
Yeah.
Okay, I hope the key is not under his father's pillow. Anyway, have a lashon of Rava. Oh, so all this ad kan lashon hatosis. Again, we have to press the return button. So again, let's.
What's up with chatos?
Oh, I don't know why chatos of all. I think the choice of chatos, in my humble opinion, means that you have two types of Kedushas HaGuf. You have one Kedushas HaGuf that goes on the Mizbeach, and that's it. Nothing else can happen to it. We get no. That's Ola. We can never get benefits from an Ola at all. Correct? And we're going to see exactly what the dinim of Ola are as far as Pidyon, I'm sorry, as far as Me'ilah is concerned, and so forth and so on, because Ola has a certain special status as far as Me'ilah. But Chatas is subject to Me'ilah. Why? Because there's a part of the Chatas that belongs to man, so to speak, meaning that it has Achilas Adam, Lezichrei Kahuna. And that's going to have an impact on Me'ilah, because Me'ilah means taking something that belongs to man. For example, in Kedushas Domim, since I have a possibility of Pidyon, I really still own the Kedushas Domim. Do you follow what I mean? Or alternatively, I give the ownership over to Gavoah. In Kedushas HaGuf, it's a little bit more problematic to begin to understand how Me'ilah operates, because really, there's no private ownership on behalf of Hegdesh in the case of Kodshim, in the case of Kedushas HaGuf. Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. But anyway, let's just summarize. So again, we're up to the end of HaKofa Aleph, which means Shitas HaTosfos. And then we're about to start HaKofa Beis, which is Shitas HaRambam. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik insists that you can only understand the Shitas HaTosfos in Masechta Menachos, that Ein Moel Achar Moel in Pidyon HaBen, I'm sorry, in Paraduma, based on Kichatas Kari Rachmono, based on the Sugya in Shavuos, that the Sugya in Shavuos says that after Shechita, there's no longer Pidyon, because the Torah says that once you Shech the Paraduma, it gets elevated to the status of Chatos, and there's no pidyon on a Korban Chatos, there's no pidyon on a Paradume after Shechita. Tosfos would obviously be moda that in a case of Paradume before Shechita, between Akdosh and Shechita, there would be Me'ilah, which would be mostly the Chulin, like the case of Pidyon, and there would be no possibility of a second Me'ilah. But when the Gemara establishes in Menachos that there's Me'ilah HaMoel, the way Tosfos interprets the Gemara, that's a Paraduma after Akdosha plus Shechita. And after Shechita, there's no Pidyon. The Torah now elevates the Paraduma to the status of Kodshei HaGuf. Kodshei HaGuf have no Pidyon, and therefore the Me'ilah is not capable of being Mafkia, the Kedushas HaGuf, and to be Motzli Dechulin. Therefore, Yesh Me'ilah HaMoel. However, the Rambam can't say such a thing. Why? Because he says that Avoloshen Rambam Paraduma Molim Ba Mishahuktisha Ad Sheteyasa Ofer. The Rambam went out of his way to point out that there's Me'ilah in Paraduma from the moment of what? Of Akdosha. He doesn't mention Shechita. And then we have the strange Rambam that says Afal Pishi Kedushas. Berek HaBayis. What do you mean Afal Pishi Kedushas? Either Rav Pumfaka, because it's Kedushas Berek HaBayis, that's why there is Me'ilah. Asher Mavur Midvarov, I would add a word, Leheja, Dechol Din Me'ilah Shel Parah Adumah Vurak Midin Chatos. And the Rambam is talking about a live Parah Adumah that's walking on all fours, way before Shechita, because the Rambam says Misha Hukdusha. The Rambam is saying, and therefore there is no Me'ilah, but yet there is Me'ilah. And why is there Me'ilah? Because it's Kechatos. Why does the Rambam think that if the Kedusha of Paraduma exhausts itself in Berek HaBayis, then there is no Me'ilah, when your classical Me'ilah is Berek HaBayis? And the Rambam says the only reason why there's Me'ilah and Paraduma is because Kechatos Kari Rachmono. A very challenging mountain to climb. Vinirali, he says the following. The key to unlock this mystery is a Rambam 1 Perek Vayter. In Perek Gimel Me'ilchus Me'ilah, the Rambam writes, Kodshi Mizbeach Shem Mesu. Yatsu midei Me'ilah. That if you have a korban, a live animal, there's Me'ilah. But once the animal drops dead, there's no longer Me'ilah. That's called Kodshim Shemesu. Now, very strange. Look how the Rambam went out of his way to add the word Mizbeach here. Kodshei Mizbeach. The Rambam didn't say Kodshim Shemesu. For example, let's say I take an animal and I'm Makdish it Lebedek Abayis. Would that also be included in the principle that Kevan Shemesu Poka Me'ila? Apparently not, because the Rambam went out of his way to add the word Mizbeach. This is what I call a classical diuk b'loshon Rambam. You have to be very meticulous when you read the Rambam. The Rambam qualifies by saying that his principle that after Misa there's no Me'ila applies only to Kodshim Mizbeach, but not to Kedushas Domin. U'miloshon Rambam mashma derak Kodshim Mizbeach shemesu yotzim de'viyavu Kodshim berek abayis shemesu molim b'hem. And not only that, the Rambam is basing himself on an often a sugya in Me'ila Daf Tes Vav. Kodshim Shemesu Yotzim Yidei Me'ila. Dvar Torah. B'mai, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ilei M'Kodshim Beres Kodshim Afilu Ki Me'isu Nami Lo. Lo Yehe. Meaning that it's still subject to Me'ila. I stopped in the middle of a sentence. Why is there Me'ila and Kodshe Bedek Abayis Liachar Misa? So the Gemara says, because Lo Yehei Ella, it's not worse than Akdish Ashpol Bedek Abayis. Let's say a person was Makdish an inanimate object. So it has Kedushas Bedek Abayis and it's subject to Me'ila. Why is the dead animal any different than an inanimate object? In other words, the animal was animate and now became inanimate. So fine, the animal died. So why is that mafkia me'ila? The Gemara says it's not mafkia me'ila. Is lav ispe me'ila? The Gemara asks. Should there be no me'ila because the animal died? Ella, but when Rabbi Yehuda said kodesh shemesu yotzim de me'ila, he was only referring to kodesh mizbeach. And therefore the Rambam is very medayik in his lashon, and he says kodesh mizbeach shemesu yotzim de me'ila. The Ayin Tosus Shemefarish Hasugya Koy Laman the Yomer Kodshim is Berek Abayis Lo Boy Hamodav Arocha. The Gam Ki Mesu Yeshlem Pidyon Umemela Lo Havyon Kodshim Shemesu Klal. So Tosus says that this entire sugya that is Me'ila and Kodshim is Beach. He's going according to the man the Omer who holds Lo Be'inon Hamoda Ve'Harocha. Alright, this we have to study. I owe you this. We'll come back to this later. But V'gam Ki Mesu Yeshlem Pidjon. So this halacha, this requirement, this condition in Me'ila of Hamoda Ve'Harocha would undermine the halacha of Pidyon, and therefore Me'ila after the animal dies, because then it's no longer subject to Hamada Ve'Harocha. But we're going according to the Ma'adi Yomu, who says that Lo Be'inan Hamada Ve'Harocha, that you can have Kedusha Asperik HaBayis in the full sense, and it's, how should I say, fully activated, even though it's without a possibility of Hamad Varocha, like in the case where it died. Now we're in deep trouble with the Rambam. Why? Because the Rambam paskins in Perikei Milchus Erechin, Halochi Yid Beis, the Gam Kodshi Berek Abayis Be'inon Hamad Varocha. Now we have to take out the Rambam in Hilchos Erechin. Ubimesu Einlen Pidyon V'nikbarim. So now comes out something very strange, that the Gemara says that Berek Abayis after Misa is subject to Me'ila, and yet there's no Pidyon according to the Rambam, because after it dies it's not subject to Hamad Varocha. Just bury it. So there's no possibility of Pidyon, and yet there is Me'ila. How could this be? No, this Tosis is saying that the whole sugya is not la'alocha, because we paskin that you need hamodav arocha. And the sugya is going according to the Mandi Omar, who says lo be'inan hamodav arocha. But we paskin that you need hamodav arocha, and therefore this sugya is not la'alocha.
But isn't it really a case where there is pidyon, because there's no hamodav arocha, you can't be paid it?
Correct.
From a practical point of view. But really, in theory, there is pidyon.
Right, so if you hold like the mind over that lo be'idon hamod v'aruch, then even after the death of the animal, it's kodshei bedek habayis, still is subjected, it can be subject to what? To me'ila. But Tosus says that that's only according to one man diomar, who holds that you don't need hamod v'arucha, and therefore it's subject to pinyon even after misa. We paskin that you need hamod v'arucha, and therefore there will be no pinyon le'achar misa. The Rambam paskins that you need hamod v'arucha, like that man diomar, and yet he paskins that even after misa there is me'ila. How do we reconcile that? Umefarish asugi kepashta the cholaf kos meila yidei meisa lo shaychel bekotchim is bepul kotchim berik abayis the lo gora miashva. Why is the dead animal, the carcass? Why is it worse than being? You know, it has a value. Let's say it's not worth 500; it's worth 100. Can do a lot with the carcass. Why is it worse than just being magdish anything? Garbage, you know, rubbish. It's got a value for whatever you could use it for. It's inanimate. And now we have to understand that even though, according to the Rambam Shita, on the one hand, there's no possibility of pidyon, because the Rambam holds that you need hamod v'arucha, so, and that's impossible after misa. So there's no pidyon on these kodshei bedek habayis lachar misa, but at the same time, the Rambam says there is me'ila. And why is there me'ila? The Gemara says because it's not worse than being magdish, an inanimate object to bedek habayis. Venerally, I want to explain this paradox that on the one hand there's no pidyon, but on the other hand there is me'ila. De'ina be'emes kol kodshin shemesu hare kedushasam lo paka. Okay, here the Reb Moshe has a chakira. What happens when a zevach, the animal, dies? So you and I would say the kedusha of the animal when it's royal in mizbeach is only during its lifetime. I mean, a dead animal you can't bring on the mizbeach, and therefore paka kedusha. So Rav Moshe says no. The death of the animal cannot possibly be mafkir the kedusha. How do I know this? It's just interesting. Rav Moshe uses the phrase debemai tufka kedusha. I think he's borrowing that from the Gemara in Darim. The Bar Poda, you know, you remember the Bar Poda in the Dorm, I don't know if it's in the Mems, wherever it is over there. Kedusha lo paka bichdi. No, it's something called pidyon, but without pidyon, Kedusha doesn't just evaporate into thin air. So like the Gemara there talks about he was magdish an animal for 30 days. Lizman. So the Gemara says, what's going to happen after 30 days? The Kedusha is going to dissipate? Kedusha lechon holcha, where did it disappear to? Here too, the animal died. So what? So there's no hegdish to an animal that's dead? But I'll prove to you that the kedusha is not paka, that misa is not mafkir the kedusha. Because of a sugya in zvachim daf kuvav. Now, all we have to know is the following, that what you do bachutz, and that generates a chiyuv misa v'dei shamayim, that's because it has kedusha to it. Now there are two different actions that you can do b'chutz to an animal that's sanctified that has kedusha. One is shechita, the other is halah, meaning you set up some sort of an altar outside the azara, and you do shechita, you're chayav for shechitas chutz. You do halah, and it could be somebody else called Shimon. He brings the animal, the remains of the animal, onto an altar outside the azara. He's chayav halas chutz. And all this has to apply because there's kedusha to the animal. If there's no kedusha to the animal, you can't be chayav for chutz. But wait a second, I understand why Reuben is chayav. He shechted an animal that had his kedusha saguf. But now Shimon comes along and he takes that dead basar and he's makir on the mizbech. He's chayav halas chutz. But where did the kedusha go? The answer is that the kedusha still persists even after the death of the animal. Beautiful raya of Rav Moshe. He says, "Mina machayev al ha'aloh harei lehejim the kedusha sam lo paka." Vafil le rabbana de pligi Rav Yosi aglili who rak mishum dina deina roy le pesach ol moed. Okay, there's another din that sets up a condition for halos chutz, and has to do with royal pesach ol moed. Aval kedoshim mia havyun kedushas haguf. The rabbanan never questioned the basic premise that the animal has kedushas haguf even after it died. Then he has a second proof from Tosis and Zvachim Daf Samach Tes. Is that today's daf? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Well, I don't know what they're up to. They're already up to the irons.
I'm there.
Oh boy, they're catching up to me. I gotta speed up. I'm up to pay. Okay. So he says the following: Ayin Tosis Zvachim Samach Tes. Shekosval chatas ha'ov shemolkov. It didn't say straight for that. Read any sechalisur for lochalisur neveil alisur kodesh. Now this is very interesting. What happened? He did malik on the oaf. So is the oaf alive or dead? Obviously, it's dead. And yet, Tosis wants to say that the Isur Nevela cannot be chal on top of the Isur Kodesh. What do you mean Isur Kodesh? The animal's dead. Hare Lehedra, we see clearly. Now we're moving on to the next page. The Kedoshim, the Kodesh Shemesu, Kedushasam, Kedushaguf, is by Isur Kodesh. That's why the Isur of Nevela cannot be chal, any Isur chal Isur. So again, he has two proofs that Misa does not have the power to be mafkia kedushas haguf. Number one, from the sugya of halah. Halah takes place after the animal is dead, and yet your chayav must be that the animal still retains its kedusha even after it died. And secondly, from the sugya of ein isur chal lisur and chatas ha'of. If the chatas ha'of was subject to malika, and then the malika was psula, now we find alternatively find the animal to be a trefa. So Tosfos says we apply the principle of ein isur chal isur. So you see that even though the animal was shechted already, I shouldn't say shechita because we're talking about malika, and the animal, the bird, is in this case is clearly dead. Nevertheless, we still say it has an isur kodesh to it. Why is it an isur kodesh after death? It must be that misa is not mafkir the kedusha. Oh, so if that be the case, then we have to ask the more basic question. We have a halacha called Kodshim Shemesu, is Yatsu V'dei Me'ilah. Why Yatsu V'dei Me'ilah if the Kedusha is still there? We've proven from two sugyas that the Kedusha persists even after the death of the animal or the bird. So why now do we say that Yapaka Me'ilah, Kodshim Shemesu is Ein Ma'olim Bahem? He says, "Vahadi yatsumi de meila, who me din misuim de meila, de meinan kodshe Hashem. Kodshe Hashem means that's royal akrov al gabi mizbeach." And Rav Moshe is going to show how this is a unique din in kedusha saguf. That in kedusha saguf, as far as meila is concerned, it's not enough to say, "Well, the kedusha is still there." You have to go a step beyond that, and you have to say, "Well, this animal is designated for the mizbeach." Well, you can say that as long as the animal is still what? Still alive. Once the animal is dead, it's no longer designated for the mizbeach. No way, no how can you take this animal onto the mizbeach? Right? The first of the four avodos is shechita. The animal is dead already. You dropped dead. So, the other reasons why you can't be makir on the mizbeach, because minamutu beficha, it's nevela. But whatever the case is, let's say you would circumvent the din of nevela. You'd say the malika was motzi v'dei nevela. You still can't be makar. It's too late. The shon from fallen. The behemoth shon gestorben. So you can't bring it on the mizbeach. But if you can't bring it on the mizbeach, it's not what's called kodshei Hashem. Me'ilah is derived from the pasuk kodshei Hashem, which means dedicated for the mizbeach. It's no longer dedicated for the mizbeach. There's no possibility of bringing it on the mizbeach. It's dead. The alpha god the kedoshim man kedush saguf. Kedusha Guf lo paka b'chdi, right? And the Kedusha Guf is gonna allow me to say any sirchalisa in the case of the vela, and the Kedusha Guf is gonna allow me to say that if he takes that dead animal and he is makriv on a bama b'chutz l'shem whatever, he's chayav misa b'dei shemayim for halos chutz. So obviously there's Kedusha Guf and lo paka l'dei misa, but nevertheless there's no meila because it's not kodesh l'shem. Im ach ein kodesh Hashem lekam meila, ubazen nomar Ne'amar, excuse me, Adin Dimason. Once it dies, there's no Me'ilah. Why is there no Me'ilah? Within Kodshi Hashem Mufkoyimhen. There's no way it could be considered Kodshi Hashem. Kevin Dol Chazi Lakrov, it's not Roya Vakrov. Again, the dead animal is not Roy Lakrov. For many, many reasons. Oh, so what do we have over here? Do we have the highest level of Kedusha? Well, we said there's no Me'ilah. And the reason for that is it's not Roy L'Mizbeach, it's not Roy L'Akrov. So if it's Mufka from Akrov, it's not Kodshi Hashem, there is no Me'ilah. So what have we done now with the death of the animal? Did we raise the level of Kedusha, or do we lower it? Or is it identical?
It seems like it stayed the same.
I don't think it stayed the same. I'll tell you why. Because if it stayed the same, then why is there no Me'ilah? Mm. The answer is because it's not Kodesh Hashem. So there are different levels of Kodesh. There's Kedush Taguf, but then there's Kedush Taguf, which is also Kodesh Hashem. So while it's alive, it's Kedush Taguf plus Kodesh Hashem. With its death, it's Kedush Taguf, but without minus Kodesh Hashem. Okay. As a result, by the way, there's no Pidyon, which is a little bit counterintuitive, but as you learn Kodeshim, I guess you get used to it. It's like an inverted relationship. In other words, there's only Pidyon when you have the full-fledged Kedusha. If you lower the Kedusha, then there's no Pidyon. Like, for example, let's say Maaser Sheni, right? You have the level of Maaser Sheni, which is the original peros that grew in the ground that you take to Yerushalayim. And then you have another level of Maaser Sheni where you oppose them onto Moos. Then you take those Moos and you buy food in Yerushalayim. So that food is already a lower level of Kedusha.
You can't be pitted.
And you can't be pitted. You follow? It's counterintuitive, because you would think the higher level of Kedusha, the less Pidyon on the Shach, but it works the opposite. When you water down the level of Kedusha, then it becomes Mufka from Pidyon. So here in the case of Kodesh Shemesu, although it still retains its status as Kodesh Aguf, but it went down one Madrega, because it's no longer Kodesh Hashem, it's not Roy Lakrov Al-Gabi Mizbeach. And now there are two nafkavinas. Number one, you're not chayv from Me'ilah, because it's not the full-fledged Kodesh Hashem. And number two, there's no possibility of Pidyon. Ulechorit tzorich im. Okay, ad kan hakof alf. We're talking about Kodesh Haguf. Now let's talk about Kodesh Berek HaBayis. Ulechorit tzorich im. Beautiful kasha. He says, if everything that we said until now is emes lamito, and there's no way you can doubt any of his premises, they're all solid, is Kodesh Berek HaBayis, what's going on over here? You're so dito with Kedushasim Umom and Hekish B'Kinyonim. Basically, when you're Magdish something, I'm Magdish this table for the Berek HaBayis. What is it? What is that Hakdosh? What's it worth? It's simply a Hakna. What do you mean Hakna? I own something and I transfer ownership to you. And who's you in this case of Kodesh Berek HaBayis? Hekish, the Gizbar. So he asks the following question. If the whole Yisoda Yisodas of Me'ilah, what generates me, is Kodesh Hashem, that's not Shayach in Berek HaBayis. Does everybody follow? This is what you call a pedagogic question, meaning some questions are so basic, like a fourth grader in Cheder should be asking this question, but only for the sake of clarifying your fundamentals. So Rav Moshe here at this point is like a pedagogue. He's going back to the basics. And he's saying, well, I understand Me'ilah in Kodesh Mizbeach because that's called Kodesh Hashem. But Berek HaBayis is nothing more than transmitting or transferring ownership over a table. It's not Kodesh Hashem. So what shack is Me'ilah in Kodesh Berek HaBayis? And yet Me'ilah, by the way, the paradigm of Me'ilah is Kodesh Berek HaBayis. So he says, Asher Nira Poshet. Here the word Poshet is very, you know, I always point out to you that sometimes Rav Moshe has a bombastic Kiddush and he says Poshet. He's basically trying to win you over. Here the word Poshet means Kipshuta. Now this is mamish the Aleph Beis of Me'ilah. And by the way, what he's about to say, we know already. I'm going to test you and see if you remember where we know it from. And I hope you'll come through in the clutch. Vashanira posh, the whole din me'ilas kodshei berek habayis has nothing to do with kodshei Hashem, who mishum davi momen hegish b'kinyonah. Who owns this cheftza, this object, which is berek habayis? Hegish, correct? They own it. Posh, it's their din momen. So what is me'ilah? Who can give me another word for me'ilah?
Another word in English?
A substitute. No, in Lashon Kodesh.
Geneva.
Gzela. Me'ili equals Gzela. Where did we learn this, Rabbi Osei? Who remembers? Oh, yeah, I'm getting nervous. We spent an hour on this. This was Reb Chaim by Achilles Poel. Do you remember in Achilles Poel? There was a Havamina that he could eat from Hegdesh. So the pole is working in the field. The field is Hegdesh. The owner of the field was Magdish. The field is Berek HaBayis. There's no Kedush Saguf in a field, in produce. And it was a Havamina that the Pasuk, which says, you know, in Parashas Ki Teitze, Ki Yoro, says Sodcha, and it says that he eats from the field, right? And you're not allowed to prevent the pole from eating. So the Gemara says that there's a Havamina that it says Kerem Reacha V'lo Shel Hegdesh. If not for the Pasuk Reacha V'lo Shel Hegdesh, even in a field of Hegdesh, the pole would be allowed to eat Hegdesh. How can he eat Hegdesh? That's Me'ilah. Let's say it was Tevel, or it was Kelayim. So it was a hot meter that because a pole has a right to eat and we can't muzzle him, so to speak, therefore he's going to eat Tevel, he's going to eat Macholos Asuras. Why in Me'ilah was there a Havamina? The answer is, what is Me'ilah? It's Gzeilah. Me'ilah is stealing from Hegdesh. But the Pole is not stealing anything from Hegdesh, because the Torah says the Pole has rights to eat from the Mizgeret in the context of his contractual relationship to the Baal HaBayis. That was, again, that's the nutshell of what we discussed in an hour from Reb Chaim. He doesn't quote Reb Chaim yet. If I were to publish this book, you know, it's from time to time, my friend Rabbi Ilson has footnotes on the bottom. Because Dr. Chaim asked him to publish the writings of Reb Moshe. So he did it with Yitzi Lichtenstein together. Here I would have added my own footnote. I would say, Ayin Reb Chaim Hilchus Me'ilah, based on the Sugim Bab Metzia, that El Kelichal Ositein, that there was a Havamina that it's not the Pasuk Reacha that the pole would eat from Me'ilah. I'm sorry, eat from Berek HaBayis, from Kedusha's Berek HaBayis. V'nak kotshim mizbeach t'havin shel bailim. Oh, beautiful. This is, most people know this chiddush in the name of Rav Shmuel, of Rav Baruch Ber. The Birch HaShmuel. Are you familiar with the Sefer Birch HaShmuel? Anyway, so Rav Baruch Ber was the Talmud Muvok of Rav Chaim, and he's very famous for this Gemara, for building on this Gemara. The Gemara says, Mikara, Mekar Tura Deruven, V'ashtek Tura Deruven. In the sugya of a Behemas Kodshim, but let's say Ruven was Magdish, let's say an ox, a bull, a par, to as Kedushas Mizbeach, and then it went out and it damaged somebody, gored somebody. So the Gemara wants to know whether or not the Nizak, whose animal Nebuchadnezzar was killed by this Negich, whether he has recourse to demand payment from Reuven. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How can he demand payment from Reuven? Reuven doesn't own the animal, it's not his, he was Magdish it as a karma. So Gemara says, Meikaro Turidu Vahashta Turidu Reuven. Reuven owned the animal before he's Magdish, and he continues to own the animal, and therefore he's subject to liability.
And the other way around, the Zikin, if you damage property of Hegdesh, you don't pay.
Right. At the end of the day, it could be that Reacha is going to exclude this. You know, you have to go through the sugya. But what was the Havamina to say that a person who's Magdish's animal should still be liable under the law of Mamon HaMasik? It's not his Mamon. So Gemara says it is his Mamon. There's a long tosis there in Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Zayin, of Meikara Turi Deruvim V'Ashta Turi Deruvim. So what happens when a person is Magdish an animal? He still owns it. In fact, let's say it was a neder, and somebody now steals the animal, he has to pay kefil to the bialim. Why? Because in the case of a neder, there's a chrayus, and Rav Shimon holds that Mamon Agor and Dabar Agor and Mamon Kim Mamon Dami, which means that I own the animal even after I'm Magdish. So what is Li'ilo in the case of Kodshei Mizbeach of Kedush Sagu? You can't say it's Gzela. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Oh, you know what? I said it right. Okay, good. I'm sorry. Yeah, I did say it right. You can't say it's Gzela. Why? Because who owns this animal? In the case of Berek HaBayis, after I was magnus to Berek HaBayis, who owns the object? Hegdesh. And therefore, if I use the object and I misappropriate it, then I'm a thief. That's called Gzela, otherwise known as Me'ila. But in the case of Kodshei Mizbeach, if Reuven still continues to own the animal, it's not owned by Hegdesh, I'm not stealing from Hegdesh. So what is Me'ila? Al-Kain din Me'ila, son hu rak mi din Kodshei Hashem. It's a whole different concept of Me'ila. Me'ila means that since this is designated as a carbon for the Mizbeach, Blashem, then in a sense you're being Moel in something that's Hashem's. It's not really Hashem's in Dini Mominos, it's like Zela. For example, what would be the shear of Gzela? Does anybody know? What's the shear of Me'ila in Kodshei Berek HaBayis? Anybody remember? It's Shavapruta. Why is the shear of Me'ila Shavapruta? It should be a Kezayis. Imagine, I have here a bowl of fruit, and I'm Magdashit Berek HaBayis. How much of that fruit would you have to eat to be Chayav Midin Me'ila? You and I would have said, it's a Kezayis worth. But that's not true. It's a Shavapruta's worth, because again, we're dealing with Gzela. But in the case of Hegdesh Kedusha Saguf, Lemizbeach, the concept of Shavapruta would be totally irrelevant.
It's like Ikuei Yisurin
as opposed to Mominus. Yeah. So when you're dealing with Yisurin, you're dealing with the Kezayis or other Shirin, but when you're dealing with Mominus, the Shir is a Shavapruta. Masheki Kochi Berekabayis. Forget about Kodshei Hashem, which means Lemizbeach. That doesn't apply to Berek HaBayis. And what generates Me'ila? It's only Momen Hegdesh, because he's stealing from Hegdesh. Did Momen Hegdesh B'kinyon Levad Machadesh? Here the word Machadesh, I think, means generates in English. Did Me'ila? He says another possibility. Yidei Gufo Mashay Momen Hegdesh B'kinyon Michlol Mein B'Kodshei Hashem. Okay, you could say that the fact that the Hegdesh owns this property in the case of Kodshei Berek HaBayis, that makes it Kodshei Hashem. I'm not sure why he had to add that Chakira here. It just confuses us. I would go with the first shot. Valkein Shapir, Chola, Kodshei Mizbeach, Kodshei Berek HaBayis, then Kodshei Mesu. Ah! Now, Rabbo, so we can begin to understand and appreciate why there's going to be a fundamental difference between Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Berek HaBayis Le'achar Misa. We said that in the case of Kodshei Mizbeach, there's no Me'ila Le'achar Misa. Even though, despite the fact that it's still Kodshei and the Kedusha Saguf still remains even after the animal drops dead, nevertheless, there is no Me'ila. But in the case of an animal that was given over to Berek HaBayis, there's Me'ila even after its death. And the Gemara says it's not worse than being Magdish Ashpa, you know, just worthless, because otherwise there would be no Me'ila. But I'm saying something that's inanimate. And the answer is, because in the case of Kodshei Mizbeach, the only reason you're Chayav Mishum Me'ila, you're not stealing anything from Hegdesh, because Me'ikar Turu Deruven, Fahashta Turuven, is only because it's Kodshei Hashem. How long and until what point is it Kodshei Hashem? Right. As long as it's alive. Once it drops dead, it's no longer Kodshei Hashem. Therefore, it's Paka Me'ila, even though it has Kedush Saguf, but it's no longer Kodshei Hashem Lemizbeach. As we pointed out, that as long as the animal's alive, it has a double status. It's Kedusha Saguf, and it's also Kodesh Lashem, because it's Royal Mizbeach. Again, that's going to be Paka after it becomes a Mum. Okay, that's another discussion, whether it's Me'ila, according to everything Rav Moshe is saying now, if, let's say, the animal got a Mum, it would no longer be Me'ila. Why? Because it's no longer Kodesh Lashem. You can't bring it on the Mizbeach. Then we get, but there I think it's much more fundamental. There I think even the Kedush Saguf is Paka, because there is Pidyon. But now we're talking about Kodshei Aguf after the death of the animal, and there's no Me'ila because it's not Kodesh Lashem.
I have a question.
Wait, just let me finish one sentence. Basha Einkein, if you take an animal and you magdish it, what? Leberek HaBayis, there Misa is not going to undermine the din of Me'ila. Why? Because the din of Me'ila is a result of the mamonos of Hegdesh. It's mamon Hegdesh b'kinyono. And the fact, let's say you own an animal and it dies. So who owns the carcass? You still retain ownership on the carcass, you know, posthumously. Why? Because it's still a heftes shel bomen. It's not worth 500, it's worth 100, but it's your carcass. So in the case of Hegdesh, if the animal was kodesh b'kedushas b'erek habayis, the Hegdesh retains its ownership even after the animal dies. So even though it's an inanimate object, it's still a heftes shel bomen, and it's bomen. Moment Hegdesh b'kinyano, and therefore Me'ilu is going to continue even after its Misa. What were you going to say?
Yeah.
Beautiful, Hezbollah. Yeah.
The question I have is what you said, that the animal does not have any Hegdesh after the Misa, right?
Wait, again, if it's you're talking about what? Let's go slowly. If you're talking about Kedushas Mizbeach, Kedushas Aguf, then we drop one of the two elements of Kedusha. What do I mean? The element of Kedushas Aguf still remains even Liachar Misa. That hasn't been affected. Rav Moshe has a couple of proofs from different sugyas to that effect. The only thing that was paka is what's called Kadosh Lashem. Kadosh Lashem means that it's royal Mizbeach, that extra...
There I have. Because what are you doing with the body? You're mocking, right? Or are you burning it, right? And it's Reach Nichoch Lashem.
Well, no. Reach Nichoch Lashem is only if it's burnt on the Mizbeach, if there's Akhtar. Right. Here there's no Reach Nichoch Lashem.
There's no Akhtar after you?
No, Chas V'Shalom. The animal died.
After the Shkita.
Well, no, I mean, you know, he's talking about Kodesh Shemesu, that the animal died a natural death.
Oh, okay.
And there are many reasons why there's no Akhtar al Gavi Mizbeach. I mean, there was no Avodos, and there was no Zrikas Hadam, and it's Nevela, and it's Trefa, and it's whatever you want. There are a host of reasons. But in any event, since it can't be Makar al Gavi Mizbeach, it's no longer called Kodesh Hashem, and therefore it's Pakamidin Me'ila. Because what generates Me'ila in the case of Kodeshim? It's the Kodesh Hashem. Is therefore he says Al Kain Shapir Chol Kodesh the Kodesh Mizbeach Avishal Bailin right Mekar to the Ruven Vash to the Ruven Chalos Dimi Losu Gak Midin Kodesh Hashem Al Shel Hakravasam Hakravasam means that's Omi Lakrov Al Kain Shemesu Velo Chazi Lakrov and so Pasu Lakrov Lohem Velo Dmehem is Paka Din Kodesh Hashem Mehem the Yotzim Dei Meila Mashen Ki Kodesh Bedek Abayis Dimi Losan Ein Atoli Bechalos Mitzvasan. It's not because it's designated for the Mizbeach. Ki Im Bedin Momen Hegdish Bekinyonim Al Kein Gam Bemesu Ha Hegdish Lo Paka. I'm going to add a word here. Vakati Momen Hegdish Bekinyonim Av Yiru Umolim Bem. It still retains the status of Momen Hegdish and therefore there's Meila. For Rambam Mefarsh Dizeu Bir HaGemara Delo Yehei Elo Di Akdish Ashpa, that's what Gemara means. It's not worse after it dies than Ashpa that you are Maktish. The Gambe Ashpa lekalut shum chalos mitzvasam. You know, Ashpa cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Eladin, Momen Hegdish Bikinyana. And the same thing should apply to Kodshim Shemesu. Asher, oh, now we get to the punchline. Asher lefizei ishli yashid divar rama biparaduma. We come full circle back to Paraduma. Dine Poshut, the Dafka Lishkas Berekabais Havi Momen Hegdish Bekinyonim. Okay. Now we have to go. There are two Lishakos. In other words, where does the money come to purchase something on behalf of Hegdish? And there are two Lishakos. There's one Lishka which is called Lishkas Hatruma. And there's all Masechta dedicated to that Lishka, Trumas HaLishka, that's called Masechta. Anybody know Shkolim? And Masechta Shkolim. That was used to buy Karbanos for the Mizbeach. And then there's a different kind of Lishka, which is Mamon, that was used in order to keep the, you know, the bias, the Beis HaMikdash up and running, you know, for functioning. And that's called the Lishkas Berek HaBayis. And which monies are used to purchase the Paraduma? And he says the following. He says, "Posha the dafka lishka sperek abayis havi moment hegdish pekinyonim al trumas al lishka avishal tzibur ki chazina the kol karbonas hatzibur boi mi lishkas hatruma trumas al lishka v'kei nimtza the kol dvorim aboi mi trumas al lishka Ika layu din bailim kimo kochim is beach verak bailim shel tzibur. Vehine paraduma. Okay, now he has a Mishnah in Shkolim. You have to know everything to know anything. The Mishnah in Shkolim says that paradum is purchased mi mamon trumas alishka, which means it's sort of like owned by the entire tzibur. Kimavur b'mishnah b'shkolim, the Rambam codifies this in Perek Dal Milchas Shkolim. Halacha alf memela is paraduma after kedushasa he kedushas berek habayis mikol hakom bailim ikal lo vehi shel tzibur. There's a very paradoxical status of Berek HaBayis, and the Nafkamina is going to be as far as Me'ila is concerned, because Me'ila means you're stealing something from Hegdish. But in the case of Paraduma, you're not really stealing something from Hegdish, because the classical ownership of Hegdish is generated by purchase done through Lishkas Berek HaBayis. But the Paraduma is not purchased through Lishkas Berek HaBayis, but rather through Trumas HaLishka, and that's clear in the Mishnah, in the fourth Perek of Shkolim, and in the Rambam, in the fourth Perek of Shkolim. Is Memela Paraduma, even though its level of Kedusha is equivalent to that of Berek HaBayis, and we said that Ein Mo'el Achar Mo'el, at least before Shechita, right? Is Mikol Makom, Bailim Ika Lo Vehi Shel Tzibur. By definition, its Bailus is not the classical Bailus of Berek HaBayis, which is brought from the Trumas Lishkas Berek HaBayis, but rather, it's a Bailus of the Tzibur. Is therefore Lo Avid Momen Hegish B'Kinyonah. Now here, I think he's referring to a famous hakira, which is here in the shirim for Derech Halivu. We attributed this to the Rogachov, or if you remember the Rogachov, what's called Hakavah Mizugit. Anybody remember any of that?
Yeah.
That's about a year ago or so, I don't know when. But the Briskis also have the same chiddush, that there's something called Bailus Hatzibur, which is not private ownership, it's a whole new entity. And it's not even a conglomeration of X number of individuals. It's a new entity unto itself. And that's what Trumas HaLishka generates, Bailus Shel HaTzibur. In the case of Bailus Shel HaTzibur, Hegdesh really doesn't have private ownership, and therefore it's not subject to Me'ila. So therefore the Rambam, let's go back, I mean, without losing the place here on this page, if we turn back to the Rambam's language on the first page that we looked at, the Rambam says, Paraduma molen bo, blah blah blah. Afal pisha hi ki kodshe berek habayis. Meaning the following, that there's a paradox here. On the one hand, paraduma has kodshe berek habayis, which should generate me'ila, but here, the kodshe berek habayis should lead me to the conclusion that there is no me'ila. Why? Because kodshe berek habayis, which would generate me'ila, would have to generate me'ila under the halacha of Mamon Hegdish B'Kinyano. It could not possibly generate me'ila under the halacha of Kodshei Hashem, because it's not given to Hakrov Al Gabi Mizbeach. And if it's not given to Hakrov Al Gabi Mizbeach, all you have in me'ila is Mamon Hegdish B'Kinyano. But paradoxically, dafka because it's Perek Abayis, therefore there will not be any me'ila. Why? Because it's Perek Abayis that's purchased from the Lishkas, from the Lishkas HaTruma, the Trumas HaLishka, which makes it into Mamon HaTzibur. And Mamon HaTzibur is not subject to Me'ila. Why? Because it's not Mamon Hegdish B'Kinyono. Says the Rambam, nevertheless there will be Me'ila. Why? Because what does the Torah do to classify Paraduma? Chatosi. Came on the Chatos Karei Rachmona, which means that now it has a din of Kodesh LaShem. Ikobe din akrova, again, it's not your classical akrova, but the Torah gives it a din achalos din of akrova. Again, akrova is very odd in this context, because you're talking about hazoz dam, but you're not talking about akrova. Havi shapi bichlal kochi Hashem. And therefore, ispe me'ila kubo kochi mizbeh, v'zeo the kos of a Rambam, the afal pishi kochi berekabayis, which in this particular concept means that there is no Me'ila, because it's Kodshei Berek HaBayis, which is not owned privately by Hegdesh. It's not Mamon Hegdesh B'Kinyono. It's owned by the entire Tzibur, because it's purchased from the money of the Trumas HaLishka, which generates Mamon HaTzibur, and that's why a carbon Tzibur is purchased from Trumas HaLishka. Nevertheless, there is Me'ila. And why? Because Hare never bought Chatosi. The Zeu Bir Divrei HaGemara, the Gemara Menachos Nun Aleph that we started with, that Chatosi Malamit Shemolim Ba. Why is the Meilin Paraduma? That's because it's considered like Chatos. Had you considered it like Berek HaBayis, there would be no Meila. The Din Meila BeParaduma Shaych LeDin Meila Shel Kodshim is Beath. That's what the Torah meant by calling it a Chatos. Velo Din Meila Shel Berek HaBayis. Wow, what a magnificent piece! And I'm telling you, Rabosai, not only is it magnificent because of its chidush element, it's magnificent because of its hezber element, the clarity of presentation. You know, a lot of the pieces that we've seen here in this sefer have just been very, very difficult. This one is like crystal clear. And again, Rabosai, let's now, we have maybe a minute just to clarify the difference between Tosis and the Rambam. Tosis holds that there's a new din after Shechita. The Rambam is not talking after Shechita. The Rambam says, Mishahuk the Shah, Ad Shenasa Efer. So we're talking after Hagdosha Sapor, according to the Rambam, without Shechita. You want to talk about Shechita making it into something that belongs on the Mizbeach, as we saw that the Shechita that now changes the entire nature of the Kedusha, it becomes Kodesh B'Kedushas. No, the Rambam is talking about before Shechita. But the answer is, the Rambam says that there's a very paradoxical situation in Paraduma that is engendered by the HaKadosha, even before Shechita. And that is, on the one hand, it's Kedusha is clearly the Kedusha of Berek HaBayis. It's not Kodesh Lashem. And yet, the Rambam says, Dafka, because it's Kodesh Berek HaBayis, there should be no Me'ila. Because Kodesh Berek HaBayis means it's Mammon, it's private ownership of Hegdesh. Here, in the case of Paraduma, I'll prove to you that it's not private ownership of Hegdesh, because the monies that's used to purchase the Paraduma are coming from the Jumas Al-Lishka, which by definition means it's Mammon HaTzibur. If it's Mammon HaTzibur, then there's no Me'ila. So the Rambam says that's what the Gemara means in Menachos when it says that that there is an element of Kodesh Lashem, that the Paraduma from its time of Hakdosh is designated for the Mizbeach. Again, what's going to happen on the Mizbeach? Only Azoya Sadam. But that's enough to make it Kodesh Lashem with the Kedusha Saguf of Chatos, and that's going to generate the din of Me'ila. All right, then, Rabosai, I will stop here.
Thank you.
Beautiful. If you could hold on to these pages, I wanted to finish up Rav Moshe tomorrow. If you're not taking the pages, give it to me, and I'll hold it on. I'll hold on to it.
Shkeh. Sefer.
Yeah. In the sefer, it's safer. Because the next part of this piece of Rav Moshe, he wants to go into a whole discussion about whether or not we can always assume that something that's bought by Trumas Al-Lishka, which means that we generate bilus of the tzibur, it's not Mammon HaKadosh B'Kinyano, is therefore there's no Me'il. So that's what he wants to analyze with a sugya called Chomas Yerushalayim.
The Paraduma is burnt not on the Mizbeach.
No, all the way out.
All the way out there.
Only Hazor is on the
Mizbeach. Right, the Hazor is on the Mizbeach.
Right. But that itself is enough to give it a status, a chalos of Kodesh Lashem. And that's going to generate the Me'ila of Kodesh Mizbeach, of Kodesh HaGuf, not the Me'ila of Kodesh Berek HaBayis. From the perspective of Berek HaBayis, there would be no Me'ila, because there's no private ownership of Hegdesh.